Malachi tonight, and we're continuing a little bit with a theme we started last week, looking at stewardship. And as I mentioned, as we were beginning to look at stewardship last week, whenever we think of stewardship, we automatically think of money, but we're actually stewards of everything that God has blessed us with. We are to be a steward of it. So it's really a stewardship of life. But as we lead up to missions revival and we lead up to what we call faith promise missions, I trust you've already been praying about what it is that the Lord would have you to commit to missions throughout this next year. But once again, we're going to look at stewardship in that area. But Malachi chapter 3, and we'll begin reading in verse 7 and go down through verse 11. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. We'll go ahead and read verse 12. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Lord, as we come before you, thank you once again for this time on this midweek service that we can gather together in your house. I thank you, Lord, for those able to come out tonight. I know several sick, living proofs out, traveling. Just thank you, Lord, for those who have come tonight. And I just ask you to meet with us. And I ask you to do something in our hearts tonight as we look at this principle tonight. Bring ye, prove me. Bring ye, prove me. And I just ask you, Lord, just to meet with us. In Jesus' name, amen. So we see in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10, we see the idea, we see the first two words in verse 10, bring ye. And then you look down a little bit further into the verse and we see the phrase, and prove me. So the idea tonight, what we're looking at is bring ye, prove ye. Clarence Sexton once said, no promise in God's word bring such bountiful blessings as the one act of obedience in tithing. Every Christian is one of God's stewards. God's stewards have been assigned a responsibility from the Lord to manage God's goods as they are distributed and used in this world. We have learned that all that the Father has is at our disposal. May God help us to be wise, but even more importantly, to be faithful in our stewardship. So here in the book of Malachi, we find God's message to God's people. It's a wonderful passage where God essentially says, if you will, I will. This makes it very clear that there's a certain participation on God's part if we will do what we are supposed to do. Now, get this part here, because uncertainty in participation is in our part. It don't say, you will if I will. No, it says, if you will, I will. Now, this makes it clear that the uncertainty in participation is not on God's part. If he does not come through, it's because you and I did not come through first. That's pretty straightforward. It absolutely is when God says, if you will, I will. If we could grab a hold of this tonight, it'd be much better for us, because so many times we act as though we want God to will, but we don't want to will ourselves. How many times have we asked God to help us and we were unwilling to help out ourselves? Sometimes that happens. I cannot tell you the times I ask God to Help me. So let's just use for an example to lose weight. Lord, help me lose weight, but I wasn't willing to take any steps myself. Lord, help me not be so upset about this or upset about that, but I did not want to take any steps myself. At times we do that. Lord, reach the whole world for you, but we're not willing to pass out a tract. We're not willing to witness. How many times do we ask God to do something when in His Word He's promised that He'll do it if we do our part? And we find here that God is saying, if you will, then I will. How many times, though, do we blame God for not willing when we weren't willing? God says, if you do this, I'll do that. And we don't do this, so God don't do that. And then we get mad at God for not doing that. It happens. God says, if you will, I will. There are certain things in Scripture that if you want God to will, then you and I better will. Because once you will, then God will. Tragically, and there was a time in my life that I was this way. You pray for more money to lighten your financial load. You pray for money so you can have this or that. But if you're not obedient to the Lord with your finances, He'll not bless you. He'll not bless you until you trust Him in obedience. In Malachi, it says, if you will, I will. So if you will, I will. In your tithes, in your faith promise missions. If you will, I will, in your offerings. We have a divine obligation to obligate God. Obligate means to bind as oneself in a moral or legal sense, to impose on as a duty which the law or good faith may enforce. There are certain things that God absolutely has to bless because He said He would. And for Him not to would be for Him to break His word because He said He would bless it. He declares in verse 10, bring ye, prove me. Now, when God comes through, He proves Himself to be true. He proves Himself to us. He proves Himself to those around you as you share with them what God has done for you. And I'm thankful for the times that God has proved Himself to be true, to be faithful, to be ever present. And we do need those times. As Clarence Sexton said, no promise in God's word brings such bountiful blessings as this one act of obedience here. Why is that? I personally believe it has to do with the idea of follow the money. You can know where a personal heart is by where the money goes. What does the Bible say? For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That's Matthew 6 and verse 21. Where do you think follow the money came from? That there's so many things, and I've thought about it before, and one day I'm probably going to take some time and write some of it down. These folks that get out there and deny God and try to deny His existence and try to deny His word and the influence of God and His word out in the world, how much stuff they say from their own mouths that if they went to the root of it, it's a biblical principle. And this is, you know, how many people out in the world say, follow the money, follow the money, follow the money, follow the money. Where does it come from? Matthew 6, 21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Follow the treasure, and that's where you'll find the heart. And God knows that since the beginning of currency, mankind has been in love with it. Mankind loves the worldly status that it can afford. Mankind loves the power that it can afford. You know, if you are rich, if you have money, people will do a lot of things for you. Whether or not they get that money from you or not, they'll just do a lot of things for you because they know you have it. They want to be friends with somebody that's rich. They want to be friends with somebody that's popular, somebody that's famous. They want to be able to throw your name around at a get-together and say, I know him. That's my friend over there. Mankind loves the influence that money can afford, the possessions, the companionship. Again, it's not real companionship. you lose out on that money. It's amazing how many people you got left around you. And there's a lot of people, celebrities and athletes, that could testify to that. It's amazing how that is. Them athletes, they sign that however much money at the beginning of that contract, and they're making all that money. And then a couple years later, there's one guy, a famous basketball player, real good, and now he's homeless on the street, strung out on heroin, and don't have a friend in the world. But there was one time everybody was around him because he had something, and he had what people wanted. I tell you what, you'll find out when you lose everything that people want, who's left, that's the people that cares about you. They care about you and not what you got. How about this? Mankind loves the security of it. In a world that is structured based off money and the need of it to even survive. We get sold water. We get sold food. Just go on down the line. Everything's for sale. Just about everything that we need is for sale. And the world knows it. And they know if they're going to have some things, they need the money to buy it. God knows also for an individual to reach down into their purse, down into their wallet, it is a victory indeed for them to part with it. Because sadly, even many believers are tight and stingy with the money that God's given to them. If we want to be blessed with more, we must be faithful with what God has given to us and what He expects us to do with it. God said in verse 8 that His people had robbed Him of tithes and offerings. The tithe is the tenth. It belongs to the Lord. It's not I can't afford to tithe. It's I cannot afford not to tithe. Unfaithful servants do not tithe. Tithe is not grocery money. It's not play money. It's not rent money. It's not car note money. It's not house note money. It's God's money. It belongs to Him. It is owed to Him. May we decide to square up with God before we do anyone else. I firmly believe that if the members of Emmanuel Baptist Church will follow the Lord's leading with their giving, everything will just be fine. Lord knows what we need. He'll impress on the hearts of His people what needs to be given. And with that, everything will go just fine. General fund will be fine. Missions will be fine. Building fund will be just fine. And the offering goes beyond the tithe. And some are able because of God's blessings to give much more than others in their offerings. But an offering is just because. It's an offering because you love the Lord. It's an offering because you love the church. It's an offering because you want to see it go forward. It's the Lord has blessed me, so I'll give more than just what is expected of me. God called upon His people to bring their tithes and offerings in order to prove Him. He said, if you bring, I'm going to prove something to you. Tragically, we could find out when we meet the Lord that God had so much for us that He could not do because we would not bring to Him. Brother Sexton once said, bringing the tithe reveals the attitude we have towards the Lord. It shows God whether or not we trust Him or not. Now, if you think about this, if somebody came up to you and asked you for $100 and you said, okay, and it was somebody that you trusted, you knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that they were going to give it back to you. How more likely are we to loan to those people? If it's a loan, you know you're going to get it back. They're credible. They're credible. You know you're going to get it back. So you give it to them because you know you're going to get it back. But sometimes with God, it's as though we don't trust Him to come through on His promises. Now, I think about this. I've said it before. We have a financial advisor every month. We set money aside, and this advisor invests the money in different places for us. Now, I trust him with that investment, for one, because he makes money when we do. And that's one thing about it. You don't give it to people that have nothing to gain. That's not what you do. If they win, you win. Or if you win, they win. All right? And when you think about this, see, if I didn't trust him to invest it right, if I didn't trust the return on the investment, I wouldn't do it. And oftentimes when it comes to the Lord, our attitude towards tithing, our attitude towards missions, our attitude towards offerings comes back to the very real fact that we don't trust when we give something to God that he's actually going to bless it. That he's actually going to come through on what he said he would do. Now this evening we're going to look at four things regarding this subject of bring ye, prove me. Number one, there'll be meat in my house. We see in verse 10 that there may be meat in mine house. As God's children obey him in this matter, they'll have what is needed for provision. There'll not be any need that cannot be met through the local assembly. By the way, I believe in helping out God's people. I do. There'll be times that there may be an offering taking up or cut a check to maybe a family in need. But one of my first inquiries, and many may not understand this, but one of my first inquiries will be, are they tithers? Not how much, but are they tithers? Do they tithe? Now, that may sound strange, but if they're a church member and they're not tithing, then they may just be in that kind of need because they're not. There'll be those at times who rob God, then they want to come to the church and ask for God's tithes and offerings that have been given by the faithful, when they've already been robbing God anyway. Now, we can't take the money that God's faithful have given and give it to robbers of God. We can't lighten the fire that God places the unfaithful in because they'll never learn to be faithful. There have been headlines at times where someone was robbed. And the person who was robbed said, had they asked me, I probably would have just given it to them. But they just robbed me. When my wife and I were coming back to the Lord, there were times that we looked at what came in and we added it up and we added up what was going out. And before the tithe, we didn't have the money to get by. And instead of giving the tithe and asking God to provide, I hate to say it, but according to this verse, we robbed him instead by not giving to him what was his. Now, that's hard to say tonight and it's hard to think about, but it truly is. It's hard to think about robbing the person that maybe you even share a pew with tonight, but we have all at times robbed God by not giving him what was his. We can rob God of his time. Our time's not ours. We wake up and our feet hit the floor and we say, all right, here's my day. No, it's God's day. We wake up and we say, all right, here's the time that I have today. No, that's God's time. It's his time. It's his money. It's not our money. It's his bank account. It's not ours. It's his energy through us. It's not our energy. If it wasn't for him, we'd have died in our sleep. We wouldn't have woke up. Feet would have never hit the floor. It's his breath through us. His energy. That's his life through us. I got five boys. That's his boys. They're his. I've given them to him. Every one of them's his. They're not mine. Worst thing a parent can do is keep their kids back from God. And you can get up and do a little ceremony and stuff like that and never dedicate your kids to God in your heart and never give them to them. It goes beyond just a ceremony. Sometimes we have the ceremony, then that's all it is. Ceremonial, because that's what you're supposed to do. But never truly dedicate our kids to the Lord. Them boys are not mine. They're not mine. I'm a steward of them. God gave them to me and my wife, and we are stewards of them. Ultimately, they're his. Now, we could go on and on tonight. We are stewards of everything. And there's a God in heaven who wants to prove himself to us. Will you allow him to prove himself? Number two, I'll open the windows of heaven. We see that in verse 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. So what's in heaven? In heaven are all the treasures of heaven, all that God has. And God says, if you'll simply obey me from your heart, I will open the windows of heaven for you. God's saying, I want to see the windows of heaven open and blessings overflow into your life. This is what God says he will do. He says he will pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now, isn't that a blessing? And it has been. In my life, when my family surrendered our finances to God, in our tithes, in our missions giving, in our offerings, it's nothing short of amazed me and reminded me that you cannot outgive God. We give a lot to the Lord through the local church, but the Lord blesses us beyond measure. And there have been times where I don't know if Emmanuel does it here, but... They did at one of the churches at Chippewa I was a member of and on staff at, and then at Caesarea where I was a pastor at, we had year-end giving reports. So you hand out the year-end giving reports, and this is what you gave for the year. And it always amazed me. Because, you know, you sometimes just write out what it is. You know what your faith promise commitment is. You already know what it is. You know what your tithes are and things like that. And you write out the check and things like that. And then you get to the end of the year, and because you're not adding it up as you go. Then you get down to the end of the year and you say, man. And I always like to look at it, not because for any reason to boast of, but God's been good. If God hadn't been that good, we wouldn't have been able to give that much. But because God has been good, we've had something to give. And we know if it wasn't for God, we'd have nothing to give or not as much. And I can tell you this, when we were in control of our own finances, we didn't have any of these blessings. God could not use his people, use his church to bless those who rob him. Some have kept the windows of heaven closed on their lives. Why? Because of their disobedience. Number three, we have a promise here. I will rebuke the devourer. Notice God says, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. The devourer is the devil. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8 that he's seeking whom he may devour. And we need the Lord to rebuke him. Because the devil is after every aspect of our life. Every aspect of our life. I cannot, I mean, break down your life and everything that your life entails. Health, life, wealth. I mean, just go on down the line. The devil, everything the devil done to Job, he'd love to do to every one of us. He'd love nothing more than to do it to every one of us. God says the devil will not be allowed to destroy the fruit of your ground. What about our fruit? What about our children and grandchildren? What about the people that we lead to Christ? Some people have done everything imaginable for their children except practice a life of obedience to God. And their fruit is spoiled. It was devoured. If we obey God, God will rebuke the devourer and keep him from our fruit. Number four, all nations shall call you blessed. God adds verse 12, and all nations shall call you blessed. Have you ever seen folks and you just say to yourself, they're blessed. They're blessed. It's obvious. They're blessed. Fine kids, fine family, all needs met. They sit back. They're content. That if you ask them, what do you want? I don't want anything. They're good. They're good where they are. They're good with what they have. They're just content. Overall, good health. Overall, good life. A lot of things seem to go their way. They also have a good outlook on life. Why is that? Because they're blessed. You've often heard the phrase, too blessed to be depressed. Sometimes when you're just reminded of how good God is and how good God has been to you and how God has proven these verses to be true in your life, as you have given, He has given back. And I tell you what, not only would God's word be a lie if He did not give back, He also it just wouldn't be a good investment. Why would God tell us to be a good steward, which is to invest things properly, what He's given to us to be a good steward of, and we give them to Him, and then He does nothing or the opposite of what He said He would do with it? Might as well just throw stewardship right out the window. Wouldn't amount to a hill of beans. You might as well just throw it right out the window. There'd be no reason for stewardship. But why is this? Why are many, many so blessed? Because of obedience. They came to God's word. They've found what it says about it. And they've obeyed. I don't know where everybody is here tonight, but there was a good couple years as we were getting our lives back around to where it needed to be with the Lord, that we were not good in the area of finances when it came to God. And the closer we got to Him, and the more miracles we saw Him perform in our life, the more we trusted Him. And the times that we did what we were supposed to do, and there were times it was hit or miss. It was like anything else that you're adding to your life at times. Sometimes things are easy to add and easy to do, and some things are hard. Money is a hard one. Money is a hard one. It's just, I mean, and it's multifaceted at times how we got it wrong. So we went through a stage too where it didn't come off the top. Our giving didn't come off the top, and then we got down towards the end, and literally it wasn't there. It literally wasn't there at all. You're not paying attention to what you're spending. It was a time we were real bad with money, not just with the Lord, but just in general. Just get to the, where'd it go? I don't know where it went. One of the best things that helped me was in Bible college when I went through Financial Peace University with Dave Ramsey, and just something that he said, tell your money where to go. It's like, oh man, that's interesting. Don't let your money grow legs and run off and not know where it went. Tell it where to go. I was like, oh, that's interesting. That's a fascinating concept. Instead of losing money and not knowing where it's going, tell it where to go. Direct it. So sometimes, and it was this way in our life early on, the money was kind of the boss. It decided where it wanted to go at times, and we decided where we wanted the money to go at times. And sometimes it's just swipe, 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 swipe. And then before you know it, it's like, uh-oh. Then we had to learn to just go ahead and give God what's His right off the top. You add it up and you don't know how it's going to work out on the back end, you know. But then faith goes out the window if the Lord showed you all that up front. So you give it and you say, man, I don't know how it's going to work out when this comes due. And then you just like, well, that's 2 weeks from now. We'll see what happens in them 2 weeks. Give the Lord an opportunity to prove Himself in them 2 weeks. Give the Lord an opportunity to prove Himself in that month. I tell you, it increased your faith. It will increase your faith. I know somebody just a couple missions conferences ago up north gave money to gave money to believe the Lord wanted them to pay for tires on this missionary's vehicle. Missionary came through and needed tires. The lady noticed the missionary needed tires. Didn't have a whole lot of money herself, but decided to take it upon herself to pay for the tires. Went to Walmart, paid for tires for that missionary's vehicle. And then said, oh, man, my faith promise is due. It was coming up time for faith promise, getting ready to cut her check for that month for faith promise. And you know what? Somebody that day, either that Sunday or that Monday after, or it might even have been that Friday or Saturday before, but either way, the Lord gave her the exact amount of what she had promised to faith promise, but just had to trust the Lord with it. And you know what? And that's what faith is. It truly is. It's taking a step, not knowing where your foot's going to land sometimes. It's your left hand not knowing what the right one's doing. Or your right hand not knowing what the left one's doing. And you know what? We've lived it. We have. A lot of us have lived it. And God has shown up. And he's came through and he's blessed and he's rewarded. I cannot tell you the times that things come in through the mail. Or, I just can't. The Lord's good. I could be up here and talk about all kinds of things that the Lord is good. The Lord's good on. Or the times that something did go wrong and it could have cost a whole lot more. But we caught it in enough time that it didn't. So sometimes we measure everything by money. Sometimes we measure all the Lord's blessings based off money and somebody putting something in our hand or something like that. What about this stuff that didn't cost you when it could have? You still saved. It wasn't money put in your hand, but it was money that didn't leave your wallet. There's all kinds of ways that we can look at this when it comes to the Lord's blessings. I tell you, and the times I broke down in my driveway and didn't have to call a tow truck or something like that. I mean, that's the Lord's blessing. That saved you some money. Insurance only cover about 10 miles or something from your house. Most people work further than 10 miles from the house. I tell you, I cannot tell you the times the Lord's blessed in them ways. I think I told y'all before, breaking down come out of the morning of a hotel, flat tire right next to the gas station that had a tire plug kit, and the air compressor was there and was able to plug the tire and get air into the tire and then get back on the road. I mean, and it was that seamless. I couldn't ride long on that rim. You can't ride long on a rim. And it was literally just a couple hundred yards away. And I went real slow and turned real gradual. I didn't want it because it was a front one. You turn it real sharp, that tire is going to come off that rim. And then I'm really in a bind. It's like you can't rebead really a tire too easy. But everything worked out. It truly did. My motorcycle broke down not too long ago before we left Ohio, and my shifter wasn't working. It was flapping everywhere. I'm like, oh, man, I can't even get into gear. And I was at a stop sign. Another Harley guy rode up behind me, and then he said, oh, two houses down is Moose. His name's Moose. He goes by Moose. And a couple of houses down's Moose, and we'll just get you back there, and he'll take care of it. Well, Moose fixed my bike and didn't cost me nothing. So it was breaking down. Yeah, it wasn't ideal to break down, but where I broke down was a blessing. So ultimately, it ended up being a blessing. I offered to pay Moose. The one time I have cash on me, I never have cash on me, but I offered to pay Moose. Moose didn't want no money, so that was a blessing. I cannot tell you the times when, yes, there was a bump in the road, but it was a convenient bump, if you can call it that. It was inconvenient, but it was convenient all at the same time. And I praise God for that. Because I tell you, when I wasn't living right, there was a whole bunch of inconvenience with no convenience. Didn't work out for me that way. But these are just examples of how the Lord's looking out for us. And the Lord wants to bless us if we'll put him first. Now, if I had to take that motorcycle to Harley for what Moose did, it would have been probably $1,000 bill. They charge you $300, I think, just to look at it. Just to look at it. From about here to there, maybe. It's crazy. So the Lord saved me all kinds of money right there just by how that played out. And I tell you, it's not always about what comes in. Sometimes it's about what don't have to go out. And I tell you, the Lord is always, always looking out for us. But we got to trust him. And if we do that, he will come through for us. So as missions revival is coming around, whatever you give between you and the Lord, nobody here looks at that, just adds it up. It's all, what do they call that? You're not anonymous. I always get unanimous, or anonymous. It's all anonymous. It's between you and the Lord. It's between you and the Lord. No names go on it. It's between you and the Lord. But I trust you'll be spirit-led about what it is that you believe the Lord would have you to give as it comes up. And then I tell you, the Lord will bless you. You commit to it and you be faithful to it. And the Lord will bless you. And but you got to prove him. You got to allow him to prove himself to you. Divinely obligate the Lord to come through on his word. And he will. He will. And I tell you what, and when he does, he highlights it. It's like, that's me. That's me. Can't nobody else get credit for that. That's me. God is in timing. We can't manufacture that. We can't manipulate timing. We can't. We can't. There was times I got held up on a trip. And I tell you, I'm going to pass by an accident, and based off the looks of it, I was probably that hang up helped me. Might have been a witness to it or in it. We cannot manipulate timing, but God can. And it is amazing sometimes, even when you think about timing. Sometimes the things that have happened to different folks' life, and even sometimes their death, just the timing just all lined up. You can't manipulate that. That's God. That is God. But I invite you to trust him. Lord, as we come before you, thank you.